Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We the people must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is January 18th, 2023. My name is Robin Austin. I'm with my co-host tonight, Lou Ann Fleming.
Hello, everybody. Like Marcy would say, good evening, America. You will be joining us soon, though. Go ahead. Oh, we also have Hillary Hogue with us. Hillary, say hello to everyone.
Hi, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well and gearing up for a year of fighting back the corruption that has evolved decade after decade, and we haven't been around. We are fairly new to what we are doing, and they are really afraid of us and intimidated, so we are going to keep on keeping on. I'll age myself. We're going to keep on trucking, and we will not stop until we get justice for everyone that has died in fraudulent guardianships, people that are living in fraudulent guardianships that should not be in guardianship and are begging to be freed and to stop further corruption and human trafficking of our elderly population. Thank you.
Wow, that was very well said, Robin.
Amen.
What
Amen.
Do you have to say? I think Marcy Friedman will be calling in, too. So as soon as I get her on, she's our other radio talk show host. She's been wonderful in helping us bring all this into the arena, you know.
Bring light to the problem in a
yep.
lot of arenas. She's she has a big voice, and she's not afraid to use it.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to get us into a Spanish language newspaper that has a very high circulation. What is the name of that paper?
Espolito.
Especialito.
Especialito, yeah.
And
that's amazing.
We appreciate Especialito for for putting a public service announcement about the work that we are doing here and the injustice in our courts that we battle against every day. Welcome to the show, everyone. We're so delighted that you could join us. You're the real heroes in all of this, is the people that care enough to tune in and pay attention, get themselves informed, because that is the first step towards taking any kind of action that will be meaningful in improving our society and culture. Until we are willing to hear the stories and understand what's going on, we're not prepared to take any action to stop it. So thank you for joining us, and welcome to the show. And delighted that we all could be here. Congratulations to you. You are a heart that is changing the world.
Right, exactly. Well, we have a really good radio show tonight, and we've been digging into the stories of the corruption going on in Reno, Nevada. So we have a very special guest. Let me go ahead and talk to you a little bit about this first. We are going to be joined by Ali Carino from Ohio, a National Guardianship Reform Advocate and an anti-human ownership activist. Hold on, let me get this. What's happening with Roger Hillegas and Stuart Handy fiasco? Both were jailed for a Susan Hillegas guardianship rescue attempt in Reno, Nevada. So there's been a whole lot of constant violations of their constitutional rights, excessive police force, court corruption, and no due process. Rather than criminalizing Roger Hillegas, who tried to protect and defend his mother, why haven't they investigated the alleged wrongdoing and neglect which precipitated Hillegas' rescue in the first place? And why is Stuart Handy being persecuted and prosecuted after 30 years in law enforcement for helping out? Allie says, we continue to build an advocacy group for Roger and co-defendant Stewart in the Reno, Nevada, Washoe County Jail and courtroom. And I'm sure the corruption goes even further than that. So we are going to welcome our guest tonight. And I'm so excited to have her on our radio show. Let me see. Let me pull this up here. Just want to let everybody know we have a huge snowstorm out here in Colorado, so we're just like...
Keeping our fingers crossed. If we suddenly disappear, it may be a weather condition.
So we're only underneath like a foot and a half of snow. That's considered a small storm, by the way. You know, so, you know, they have day off of that, so we're happy, you know. Anyway, Allie, are you joining us right now?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on tonight. And hello, Hillary, Robin, and Luann. Thank you for having me on. It's always an honor
to
be here.
Yeah, well, it's an honor to have you. And Allie, I think we've known each other, it's got to be 2 years, yes?
It's actually been about, I think, 4 years I've been doing
4 years?
But it could be about 3 or 4 years, yeah.
Yeah. Yep, time goes quick when you're fighting court corruption. But Allie has always been the voice of reason. You know, she never, if Allie gets upset and angry, it's definitely for a valid reason. Not, I can get angry at anything, but Allie is calm, cool, and she drinks all the information in like a sponge. So if you have Allie on your team, she's loyal, she is truthful, and I am proud to call her my friend. And she's an awesome advocate, and she is, you know, and we get it. We get it when you're in it. You've got to do it for your loved one, you know. But Allie does it for everyone, single person, whether it's Alaska or the Florida Keys, she will say, how can I help? And she does help, and she is just, she's one in a million, and I mean that. So we're so glad to have you on.
Thank you for all that. I feel the same way about you. You inspire me. So thank you. I've learned a lot from you, too. Trying for a long time, and thankfully, you know, everybody working together, we're saving lives. You know, it's we have to keep doing this because we are all on the chopping block.
Yep, Allie, let me interrupt you. So you sent out, I think it was an email or text about that young man, and I think I know who he is, but could you tell us who? Just with advocates, and I'm not talking about myself because I had nothing to do with the case, who just managed to dodge the bullet of guardianship and
he's out of Ohio, like Mahoney County area. But so we thought we had good news today, and he was in the hospital for a urinary tract infection. His wife noticed a decline. Next thing she knew, he was on a ventilator, and she asked for a patient advocate. Well, then they arrested her. They trespassed her, and she didn't see her husband for 20 days. So one of my fellow anti-corruption advocates reached out to me. She said, I know a lot about, you know, the criminal courts and what's going on with those, but I don't know about guardianship. Could you talk to this lady? So I did talk to her, and I got Kathy Bossy involved, who requested the documents. Well, then the case was they allowed a continuance. And then last night she sent me a really good letter from the court saying that the case was, or the application was withdrawn by the predatory litigator. And so, but then today she said she got a message from, so her husband is in like the middle of the state. I think it's around the Columbus area. And they told her that that the doctors asked him questions and that he's incompetent. They deemed him incompetent down there. So they're still not going to let him go. And so we're going to continue fighting for her. That's all we can do, and for him. But we have advocates in Columbus, and we can, whoever's going to try to take this man over, we're going to picket there by their house. We're not going to let this go because this is human ownership. It's not right. He doesn't need a guardianship. He has his wife who's the durable power of attorney.
Right.
She's taking care of him perfectly fine.
So how is that to say that document was dated, and you'll tell me if I'm wrong, on the 11th of January of this year that they reneged and they weren't filing to put this person in guardianship. And then what happened? They moved him to another county, and then they said, okay, we're going to do it?
Well, he's been in another county. That's how he got saved from this county. And then they turn around. They're playing the game down there with some other predatory litigators, apparently, and doctors and nurses and whoever is involved. It's really appalling that we have this many traitors in our country. They may think they're helping these people, but they're not. They're putting them into a whole, you know how it is. They isolate them. They strip them of every right they have. They over-medicate them.
Then they accuse the spouse of poisoning them, and so hopefully the wife is keeping everyone under watch because she will be terrorized herself just as much as her husband.
Mm-hmm. I know, and she just lost her brother too, and it's just terrible. Mm-hmm. Going through all that deal with being harassed and about your assets and your husband and everything, on top of it. But we're just going to keep fighting that case, so we're not going to let it go. We're there for her.
Thank God for you, because there really is no recourse apart from individuals like you, like Marcy, like Hillary, like Luann, like myself, that stand up for these people and speak out on their behalf, and because their voice is taken from the moment they're put into an institution where they are guardianized or made a ward or called incompetent, their voice is taken. That's one of the first things that goes, is the ability to speak for themselves, to hire legal counsel of their own, to act on their own behalf. Those things are all gone. From that moment forward, they cannot help themselves because they're blocked by the corruption in the legal system that makes this a possibility. It should never be so. Every person should have the ability to stand up and say, no, I don't want this. Absolutely not. This is not good for me. I don't want it. And be heard and get a fair hearing. But it does not happen in the legal system in America any further. And throughout the world, in many places, we see the same thing.
Right. And exactly. And everything we're talking about tonight is real, everybody. These are real-life experiences that families have gone through. I have been completely taken advantage of, my family in the probate court arena. So these are life stories. And what we're going to be talking tonight about is the Roger Hilgus story and also Stuart Hante there out in Reno, Nevada. Now, I know you've been following the story very closely, Allie, right?
Yes, I've been following this for a couple years, actually. And I revisited a video of Dr. Sugar interviewing Roger just today. It was filmed on December 31st, 2018. But in doing that, I found a couple possible solutions or, a way to block this for people. Because people are always asking, how do we prevent this from happening? So I'm going to just go over this. I thought there was a couple interesting suggestions. So they suggest to have your advanced directives, like durable power of attorney, medical power of attorney, will, life insurance beneficiaries, annuity beneficiaries, survivorship deeds, wills, et cetera, and have each one of those documents be notarized by three independent separate notaries. And I guess that, it, from what Dr. Sugar said, it constitutes as a legal document that cannot be questioned. I thought that was really interesting. I never heard that before.
But isn't it that way to begin? I mean, I can't remember, and I could look, not that I'm my dad's COA anymore because I'm not, but I thought the three, well, maybe, no. Maybe I thought that there had to be three witnesses when you get a will or it's directive, but honestly, it's good, and I hate to like go against anyone. I really, really do. It's so much easier to agree. But and again, you know, it's good to have it. Like it's good. It's like a barrier. Advanced directives, power of attorney, preneed guardian, healthcare surrogate. But you know, more times than
it's not. Unfortunately, it's not. But it can't hurt. You know, I mean, these are just suggestions that he and Roger were talking about, and I thought it was, you know, worth mentioning. Another thing they said was family members to film themselves stating their wishes and explain advanced directives, you know, have it dated, maybe do it professionally, and give that to people so they can't dispute it. Another thing they said was, put in writing who you should, if you ever should need a guardian, who do you want? Put that person. And again, have three different notaries sign it. Can't hurt. And also you can put that you never want to have a for-profit professional guardian on there too. So, I mean, these are just suggestions. I'm not saying that it's foolproof, but it can't hurt and it might add an extra or
a I agree.
So,
right.
Yeah.
One of the things I would observe about that, if I can interject, is simply that there is no method by which you can protect yourself from unethical courts and corrupt judges. There's no protection for a judge that bangs the gavel and says, "So be it." There's no document that's going to shield you from that. The best that we can hope for is to create as many obstacles as possible to make it as difficult as possible for that individual to basically get away with the crime of riding over your constitutional rights. We do have rights that they do ride over and that they are violating, and the best that we can do is make every effort to assert those rights as early in the process and as vehemently and strongly in the process as we possibly can, with the hope that those wishes will be honored or that upon appeal somewhere, somehow, there may be someone who says, no, wait, you can't do that. This is a document that it is inviolable, and we're going to have to honor this. You know, good luck with that, but the best we can do is the best we can do.
Mm-hmm,
so I agree with all of these things. Yes, do them all, but realize that there's no guarantees as long as we have a corrupt legal system such as exists now.
Exactly.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah.
Go ahead, Allie.
You know, there was a gentleman. And he, can't remember his name, but he helped, you know, write our whatever plans we were making for the task force. And I spoke to him towards the end in Tallahassee, not knowing who he was. And I said, are you familiar with guardianship? A lot of people on the task force really were. And he goes, well, you know, I wasn't. But he goes, my sister became very sick, and she was in the hospital, and they in another state, and this man was mature, and they tried to put her in a guardianship. Thank God I had a connection. One of my friends was a well-known lawyer, and I got her out. But it scared me so much that what he did, besides, you know, A, B, C, D, and E, he filmed himself, but he goes, not only did I have the camera, you know, placed somewhere, film myself, but he filmed himself from each angle, each corner of that room, so that no one could say, oh, well, listen, Joe Schmo had other people in that room with him, you know, coaching him what to say.
Oh,
but, you know,
smart.
The problem is that people don't realize how catastrophic it is once you are targeted or once someone files that petition and basically pushes you in without your knowledge, it's too late to do it. So we've got to get the word out that if you are doing your advanced directives, you've got to do more, you've got to do triple of what you normally would.
Yeah, I agree. Another thing is, did you ever notice that judges and attorneys never swear in? They never raise their right hand and swear to tell the truth. I didn't realize they never, you know. I think we might want to start.
That's good to know, you know, because you don't think about that.
Technically, each of are pledged. They do take a pledge when they enter the bar. They do take a pledge when they sit on the bench. And so technically they are pledged to do certain things, including uphold the Constitution of the United States. Now they violate those pledges every single, you know, I mean, it's very common for them to violate those pledges. And that is a very much problem. But you're absolutely right. No, they don't. In each hearing, there ought to be a ceremony where they are sworn in. Wouldn't that be a lovely new?
I think that's a good idea, right? They should have to swear in when they enter the courtroom, just like we do when we get on the bench, just to testify.
I will take that job. I will sign up for that job in my county. It'll never happen, but it's just, you know, it's absolutely amazing. You just think of these judges. The judge today in Kathy Rodriguez's case was, I mean, just a nice, nice guy. And then you have the polar opposite that we have seen. I mean, these lawyers come in and lie. I mean, you look at Tracy Hudson, who is awaiting trial for, I think, 30 felony charges, and she terrorized people, you know. I mean, Getty and so many others. I was sued 3 times and this, that, and the other, but she took their word only because she was friendly with Tracy's attorney. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It is, which leads me to what happened yesterday in Roger and Stewart's hearing. You want to talk about that, Hillary?
Yeah, let's do.
That was disgusting. But I'm laughing because Hillary like laid him out. That's why I'm laughing.
I know. It wasn't planned. So there was a hearing, and Allie will give you the backstory on Roger, why it's happening, and it's all, of course, stems from guardianship, but he was transferred, released from one state, and now it's Nevada, I believe, that he's in. And there was a hearing. One of us got a notice of hearing and shared it. You know, it was all interested parties, anyone that wanted to. So we get on, and we have to, of course, you know, give our names. And, of course, we're always geared. We're always on edge. We're ready, right? We're at the start line. We're ready to jump because we know that they're going to try and kick us off. So the attorney for the bad side said, you know, I don't think this is proper. We really don't know any of these people here. So, of course, I open my mouth and say, look, you know, these hearings should be open. And I always quote Robin and Luann, justice requires transparency. You just can't at a whim close the hearings.
Right.
You know, in criminal here, everything is open, but they want it closed. So I fought it. They, and of course, you know that scare tactic. They're like, what is your name? And I'm like, it's Hillary Hogue, H-O-G-U-E. You know, what are you going to do? And of course, they said, okay, we're going to send out another Zoom link to the people we like. So it's ex parte communication. And it's just, you know, it's so par for the course. in probate, but it's so good that they know that we're here and we're not going anywhere.
Exactly.
We're watching.
So,
that's right.
So, Allie, kind of get everybody up to date about why, you know, why this case even happened. Roger Hillegas was out to help his mother, right? She was in a guardianship. Just like all of us, we've all had one or
yeah.
two parents in guardianship. We all know how it feels when you're not able to see them. We know how it is when they're being abused and you want to go see what's going on and you're not allowed to. These people that are in control are the guardians of these people, and the families have no idea sometimes what's going on. So I just wanted to let everybody know what happened to the situation, and I know that Roger Hillegas was out to help his mother. And all the advocates out there know exactly what he was doing, but the media and them looked at him like he was the biggest criminal in town, along with Stuart Hante helping him. And this
right.
was so go ahead and kind of fill everybody in with that if you could.
So to my understanding, you know, Susan Hillegas and Roger's dad, I believe his name was Herbert Eugene Hillegas, so they had their advanced directives done back in the 90s. They had Roger in place. And so he was their durable power of attorney, medical power of attorney, trustee, and all that. And so when I was just watching his interview, and he was saying that basically when all the funds were about gone, or, you know, they had to pay the attorney fees, the remaining money in the savings was like $150,000. So he was going to file bankruptcy because all the money would have basically, I guess, would have been done. Well, the attorneys and everybody didn't like, so they removed him as trustee. Then they put the mom in guardianship. And then it just snowballed from there. But I was looking, and about the time that I'm trying to think when this started. So his sister and this other lady, Roger's sister, and this other lady that was, like, I believe she was a friend of the family. I'm not sure her name's Deborah Bowers. They both filed a PPO, a restraining order on behalf of Susan Hillegas to keep Roger away. Well, then I think that was the day after they filed that, the day after he took his mom to see her brother, and they, you know, there was no problem taking her out of the nursing home. Everybody was saying, you know, have a good time with your son. And she was just went to see her brother, which she wanted to do. And she lived, or she was in an assisted living facility, so she was allowed to leave. So they filed this, his sibling, Robin Renwick, and this other lady filed the restraining order against Roger. And then it turned into a silver alert. And then it turned into Roger kidnapped his mother. And it just snowballed from there. Those restraining orders were dissolved a month later. So, but, you know, there's been evidence, like there's 50 pieces of exculpatory evidence missing or hasn't been presented by the district attorney. Why not? I think that's a theme in everyone's case too. In my mom's case, they've never looked at any evidence whatsoever. I have recordings, I have pictures, I have videos. They don't care. They're just all about taking the money. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I'll agree with that. Go ahead.
So anyway, fast forward to, so I guess the Judge Breslow wanted to do a psychiatric evaluation on Roger after one of the hearings, and that's another tactic that they use to try to make everyone think that there's something mentally wrong with you and you're not competent, which is what they do to get people in these guardianships. I see that happening a lot. They falsely deem people incompetent. So from there, I don't even know if Roger was served any papers in regards to the psychiatric evaluation, but then the next thing, I guess he took off. I don't know where he went, but on October 3rd, he and Jody Mueller were taken down by gunpoint. There was the U.S. Marshal, Homeland Security, and Clay County, Missouri Sheriff. They were all held at gunpoint for no reason. And then Roger was put in jail from October 3rd to January 3rd when his case was dismissed out of Missouri, Clay County, Missouri. And we thought, oh, good, he's finally going to get freed after all this, you know. No, they didn't do that. They extradited him back to Reno, and he was off the map. We were trying to find him from January 4th until he finally turned up on the 13th where he was allowed to contact people. So you can imagine we were very, very concerned. What happened to him? He was not treated nice. He had one thin blanket and a metal bed to sleep on for 18 hours, and then he had to travel 25 hours. They fed him garbage food. I mean, he's basically in a third world country conditions, you know. It's not been good for him at all. And we're concerned about his health and safety. And when we call there, we don't feel like he's being taken care of. So we just continue to monitor him, and hopefully they have a hearing on the 25th of January. So we'll see what happens with that. I'll keep everybody posted on that. They do record the hearings and post them on YouTube.
Right. And, you know, sorry, Allie, to interrupt you, but this is not an isolated situation. I mean, I remember Sam Sugar. I was sitting on the car line waiting for the boys. They were both at an elementary school then, and my dad was supposed to go to court the following week to be adjudicated, awarded the state. And he said, you know, there's really nothing you can do, right? Which I don't think it was, he said the only thing that you could do, which he was correct, you know, besides whatever, is to move out of the state, just to take your dad and move out of the state. But, you know, for a lot of us, it's not an option. We have young children. We own homes, you know. All of that person's, you know, money has been taken away, but we've had other people in that situation, in different situations. You know, Barbara Stone, no matter, you know, what goes on, she was in jail for a long time for taking she went to see her mother, and her mother was crying, I'm hungry, and she undid the tubes, and she took her to Denny's and to a hotel, and she was in jail. Karen Turk, Lisa Martino in Hillsborough. She didn't go and see her father because it was like a list of, you know, if you cross your legs, we're going to arrest you. You can't go and see him alone. You have to have a sheriff there. You can't bring media. You can't take pictures. You can't talk about the guardianship, la, la, la. And basically she felt that, rightfully so, it was a setup, and they were looking for her to do something incorrect, as far as they said. So, I mean, so basically we have people – say that again, Allie?
To silence her and to get her out of the way so they can do their dirty work. That's what I say.
Yeah. You have people who are going to jail for loving their parents. Your mother, Allie, everyone, you know, has to bear in mind the treatment that she was given. She had your mother, who is a senior citizen, had an ankle monitor, like a prisoner who's on probation, on her ankle. True?
True. Yep. And
we
wrote to the owner of the nursing home, and he lied and said, we've never used those. And I'm like, I have a picture of it. And he said either that's not his facility or I violated HIPAA. I'm like, neither. It's the truth. I mean, come on. He's busted.
Right. And that's happened to my family, where we had 7 restraining orders against my family. that my mom was staying with my brother and them, and they filed 7 restraining orders. I got one twice.
Where
I
oh,
my,
my
mom,
gosh.
3.5 years, I never saw my mother. Once in a while, she might get a call into me, but I didn't know where she was, and we were like 2 peas in a pod. I was so, I'm still in love with my mom. She's been passed away for, you know, almost three years, and that was the most horrifying time of my life, to know that you could go into a courtroom and they'll say, do you know you filed restraining orders on your daughter? She said, I did, you know, and she's like, yeah, this means you can never see your daughter again. I don't want to do that. I love my daughter. Then why are we here? You know, that's what happened in my case. So I get that. I understand that so much. But
Luann, let me ask you a question. I almost got a restraining order from Tracy Hudson, who said with her lawyer, Hatu Dow, who moved her location to another state to terrorize other old people. They said that myself, Lisa Martino, Getty, and Sharon McLean, that we were part of a vigilante gang. And, of course, I correct everyone. I said, no, we're part of a middle-aged vigilante gang. But we barely got out of that restraining order. Does that stay on your record, or is it removed, or how does that work?
Oh, it stays on your record, from what I heard, if the judge allows it. Now, they filed 7 of us on my family. We had to go to court, and we had to tell them, no, we're not violating anything. We didn't do this and this. The judge has the right to say, okay, you are going to be, it's going to be on your record for the rest of your life, or they could say, okay, if you do it on your own, then we won't file this. It depends on what the judge has to say. But I was afraid because I had 2 of them filed on me for elder abuse. So
that's
when I went
like
to a church one time.
Yeah.
Right. I went to a church one time, and we were going to volunteer with some kids. And Robin told me, you can't do that. You have 2 elderly abuse charges on you filed for restraining orders. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So I literally had a paper around with me excusing both of those restraining orders for like 5 years. I carried the paper in my purse to show to people that that was just it. Pretty bad.
Yeah,
huh?
That was a smart move.
I remember when it went to court. I happened to be there that day. And Luann's sister had her restraining order. Luann had her restraining order. Her other sister had her restraining order. The whole family had been restrained, and she went to the judge and said, you know, this is all bogus. There's no need for any of these restraining orders. And we got all these restraining orders. He said, well, what do you mean? I don't hand those on like candy. And she said, yes, you do. I got 7 of them. And that was what was distributed to the family. In order to restrict everyone from being able to see and talk with their mother.
Right, and you know, when I was sitting there one time with my mother, I wanted to bring this up real quick. She was in the courtroom, and I was not too far from her, but my other sister went over to my mom and tried to pull a piece of fuzz out of my mom's ear, and two or three police officers were ready to pull their guns on us. That's how serious it was. We're like, oh, my God.
Crazy.
That
it's
was crazy.
They
said, you're not allowed to touch to your mother. You're not allowed to talk to her. You're not allowed to look at her. And I said, she's sitting here right in the court with us. What are we going to do, not talk to our own mom? But those days still haunt me to this day.
Oh,
but I know my
they,
mom really did love me, and she always will, you know.
Well, it wakes you up when you see the abuse that happens through the pretense that has taken over our legal system, that they're acting in some accordance with some law, when really what they're doing is violating the laws of God and man in putting laws out of thin air and enforcing them against good, honest people who are doing what is right for those that they love. It's a horrifying corruption of what lawful behavior is that is being used to protect the perpetrators of crimes against
them. Right. And now, Allie, a couple weeks ago, or I think it was a couple weeks ago, we had Stuart Andy come on, and he talked about about how he was, you know, he's been in a police officer, you know, he was in law enforcement for 30 years, and he is wearing an ankle bracelet, correct?
Yes, he is. He has an ankle monitor on, and I was doing some research on his case, and I watched the video from January 13th of 2022, and Judge Breslow literally says that an ankle monitor doesn't apply in this case. So right there, he's violating his own ruling, but because like 2 days later, then he had, I think it was two days later, he went and had Stewart taken down with a tactical group, and he was held at gunpoint too. I mean, this is just intimidation to try to silence us, and these are crimes against humanity. I mean, this is just, he's one of the good police officers. He should never be treated this way. I mean, 30 years is a long time, and he retired in good standing. How can you be how could you be deemed as a threat to society or to the community? He's not.
Right. He's like, what is it, your do or die or whatever they call it, you know, your friend that you can count on. And people really need to get a visual. Roger Hilligus's mother was in a guardianship. She was crying. She was malnourished. She wanted to leave. She loved her son. You see pictures with them, and they both look so happy. And in the end, he had no other alternative other than to let her languish and die in that facility. And we've all gotten to that point where you're like, F it. This is my mother. This is what she wants. So they went in and they got her, and it was like they had gone on a mass shooting. There were SWAT teams. It was a huge, huge, you know, mission to bring these two to justice. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable. Like, no one was like, what happened? Like, is this a stranger? They must have just picked someone and took them. No, it was Roger's mother.
From
desperate circumstances, and we spoke with Stuart Henty on this very show a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, but he said something that just shook me to the core. He said that you know, this man who knew that his mother was being abused, who knew that she was being deprived of food, she was malnourished, she was weakened, she was bruised, who went and got her out of that desperately horrible situation and was bringing her into the loving environment, a family who cared for her. And and he said that when the police, you know, he's got 30 years in law enforcement, so he said, when the police from the county where she was taken were speaking to the police, she was, and they, you know, they, not like they were some fugitives trying to hide what they were doing. They were able to be tracked. They knew where to find them. But that when they told them you need to go and get them, they claimed they were armed and dangerous, and he was green-lighted.
Yeah.
Well, green-lighted didn't mean anything to me until Stewart explained that that's a law enforcement term that means if you have the opportunity and you see the silhouette of this man, kill him.
You can
take
him
out.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. That's
that is the justice system in America. If you try to save your beloved parent, loved one, from being abused and destroyed by criminals who are depriving them of rights, depriving them of food, depriving them of a life, and robbing them of all their property. If you try to save them, they'll green light you, man. They're ready to kill you for that.
Right.
And that's what they're facing now. This is why I think I think Roger Hilligus faces a $1 million bail?
Yeah, he has $1 million bail from what?
$1 million bail.
Oh, my.
He did. He did have $1 million. Judge Breslow put that on him, $1 million. And then Judge Karen Krauser in Clay County, she dropped it to $100,000.
Oh, wow.
It's like, that's still ridiculous, but yeah, I like how you're talking about Susan's right. Like, what about Susan? What was best for Susan? Did anyone, none of them cared about her. She was their asset. And when you mess with probate court's assets, who are human beings, then you're basically going to get retaliated on or retaliated against.
Right.
That's
and no
how
one
it
asked,
is. I mean,
you know, yeah, no one asked, you, like, my father, your mother, Luann, your mother, Allie. No one, you know, not at one time did anyone who could have made a difference ask my father, what do you want? He would say, I want to stay and bother my daughter, Hillary. And I'd be like, great. No one asked your mother, where would you like to be? What would you like? Or Luann, because they want the alleged or the adjudicated ward never to appear in court. Like Thomas Booker, we were all threatened with felonies by Mr. Hemness because we had communication with the ward. Poor little Thomas, who's begging to go home with his mother. And they don't want these people who are under guardianship to speak because not that it'll make a difference in the corrupt courts in probate, but they will say, I want to go home. I want to be with my family.
That's
you
my
know?
Mom says all the time. No, my mom yeah. says that every time here. But Stuart just texted me, and he it's basically a no, there's no bail hold on Roger, like he's a hardened criminal and he's a threat to society. He should be released. This is just, yeah, right now. Right
so
now,
he has no bail.
He's being held bond or no bail.
Wow, that's crazier than crazy. Murderers, alleged murderers, right? Arrested for attempted
yeah.
murder, whatever. I've seen them get bail.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That's heinous.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what we need to do? We need to do another outcry in this country like they did for Britney Spears fans. We need to get a lot of those fans on this case. So I think that's the next order that we have to do because we have to bring awareness to this. These are two innocent
yeah.
men that did nothing except for one loved the mother, their mother. And another one felt that, he was in a similar situation, felt that. We all know on this show how it feels to be that capable of love of our parent. I even one time worked with this one guy to give my mother back, and I was also going to go into that direction of taking her when we went to go get ice cream away from my brother. So I know how that feels that you want to have your loved one back, you know,
and
if that's a
yeah.
crime, that's disgusting to me. It
look
is.
At look at right. Joanna Belgalis. Look at Joanna
yeah.
Belgalis. That she was threatened with jail in this, and she's a lovely woman. She took her mother, and her mother was happy as anything, back to Greece. And that's where they're living now. And thank God they somehow got a connection with the consulate and the mother is getting her Social Security, but all her money is still being bled by the guardians and the attorney. But you look at her and say, brilliant. Can you believe that? The lengths that people have to go to
yeah,
save their
there's
love.
There's
we
another
had her
piece.
On our video probably a couple years ago, so anybody can find that. If anybody wants to know what's called Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio, we have like 330 to 50 shows.
Right.
Shows.
So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/hidden-truth-revealed, you will find there the archives of our shows.
Right.
And
you can find them all.
You can go. You can browse those. You can look up specific individuals that have been on the show and find those shows. There's a tremendous archive of stories there that can be accessed by those who have an interest.
Yeah, and also I want to let everybody know that we're going to be taking in phone calls soon, and to do that and to be first in order, here's the number that you call into. It's the same every week. The number is 845-241-9962. You press A1. Again, that's 845-241-9962. And remember that all of our shows are recorded and they're archived at Hidden Truth Revealed Blog Talk Radio, and they're always recorded so you can listen to them anytime that you want to. And we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit more about Roger Hillegas and Stuart Henty. And like I'm saying right now, our phone lines are lighting up. So I just want everybody to know that. Within the next, I'm going to say 4 minutes. We're going to, maybe 5 minutes. Well, here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. Five, four, six, four callers. We're going to go ahead and talk to you again, Allie, to talk a little bit more about what can we do and what have you done? What can we do to bring this out in the open? Should we go and protest at the courtrooms? What do you think? What do you think could really work?
Well, that's what I've been trying to think of, and I want to see what you guys think of this. What about, since we are all witness to these crimes, why can't we file complaints on the judges, the offending judges, on their judicial canons, like their judicial canon violations, their oath violations, law violations? They have a judicial advisory board and committees that we can file complaints to, the U.S. attorney, the Bar Association. These are all, you know, things that I've just been kind of thinking of. And then, like, for the attorneys, they're violating their oath because they're not following the Constitution. Those are part of the rules of professional conduct from what I'm reading. And then also the prosecutorial misconduct, we could report that to the U.S. attorney and the bar and DOJ, maybe FBI and attorney general. I mean, exhaust all avenues and report these crimes that we're seeing. I mean, we haven't really started that. And we did that to one of the judges in Clay County, and we put a list of witnesses, like, you know, our names, phone numbers, emails, email addresses, that we witnessed those crimes or the violation of the canons. And then, you know, this is just something that I was thinking of. And it's worth a shot, right? I mean, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, anything is better than not doing anything, you know? And
yeah, they don't know unless we tell them, really. They
exactly.
won't know.
And
exactly.
we've got to start moving it up a little bit, you know, doing things that normally maybe I would say, oh, no, that's not going to work. Well, you know what? Maybe it might. Might as well try it, you know? To see.
Yeah, because
so.
These are rogue attorneys. Like, look at Leslie Fredericos. She's a great attorney. She has a heart for the people, and they're persecuting her, the rogue attorneys and the rogue judges, because they don't want to lose their money. Well, I'm sorry. It's
right.
not your money to take. It's our money. We've earned it, not you, you know? So that's just my take on it, and you know, maybe some other people have suggestions that are calling in.
Yeah.
I hope
well,
so.
Actually, we have five or six callers that will come in. Should we start taking some calls in? Right, Robin?
Sure.
Yeah, we've got about three deep here, actually deeper than that. So we're going to bring in some callers.
Okay, so let's go ahead and bring, I'm not sure who this is calling in because it doesn't have a phone number. It has a bunch of ones. So
must
caller,
be an
you're,
online caller.
Yeah,
welcome to
caller,
the show.
Caller, you're on the air. You're joined with Faceless Radio. Go ahead and say hello. I know if it's you or not.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, we can.
Hi, this is Kathy Rodriguez and from Hayward, California.
Hello,
so, thank you, Hillary. Thank you, Hillary,
well,
for showing
good...
up today. It was really great.
Anytime. And you had a good hearing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Tell us.
So I just wanted to share a little bit about the hearing today. So I had a hearing, and it's kind of, I'm trying to get medical records and three agencies that were directly involved with the conservatorship. They refused to give them to me, even though I had a court order, and I have letters that I'm the administrator of my aunt's estate, right? She doesn't have money, but it was just to get the medical records because I plan on filing charges against them with the police because I have collected a bunch of evidence. But anyway, so it went really well today. And the reason why, I'm going to tell you the reason why, is that that judge that was on the bench today, Ruben Sundin, okay, I had a hearing a year and a half ago, and with the same exact thing that I went to hearing for today. And what he did is the attorney, Lisa McCarthy, or I can't say her name. Anyway,
yeah,
she did all my paperwork, and she specifically requested medical records and all records. And the way she worded it, if he would have left that attachment on there, I would have been able to get those records. But this is what he did. He took that attachment off that order. He whited out the special administration, and then he made it an estate for money and made me get a $20,000 bond when there's no money involved. So on the record last time, he said, okay, I'm going to grant your order. But then what he did is he went and he changed it. When I picked up the order, it was different. So that's what was the roadblock. So what I did is I filed a new petition about 8 months ago after I couldn't get these records. I filed a new petition, and I broke it down exactly what happened, how I went to these people, delivered. Judge Sundin, I put it in there because I knew it was going to go back to him. Put bullet points, Judge Sundin. I submitted a court order. He whited out all these areas, and that stopped me from getting, the records. And because it's all about verbiage, the people didn't want to give it to me because it said an estate. It didn't say anything about records. And so he made sure he took all the records part off. So that was the roadblock. But what I did is I filed a complaint with
Why
the presiding judge
that,
against
though?
Him. Huh?
Why did he do that? Why did he do that?
I have no idea because he works hand in hand with these people who are trying to cover it up. So my hearing, when I went to court, it was my case with my family. Once the conservatee dies, the previous public guardians, are no longer their guardians. They found out that I filed this petition, and they showed up in court without any invite because they know the system. And so they were, objecting to me getting medical records. And it's all on the record. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and get those transcripts now because it's going to show that they're hiding something. Because let me tell you, I found some very, very, a lot of evidence in records that I do got that is going to – they're going to get in some big old trouble, believe me. And I'm not going to quit. But the key is to be persistent, file a complaint with the presiding judge because that's what I did. And so you know that judge is going to go talk to him and say, hey, why did you change this? Why did you change that? And I didn't let it go. I filed another petition. And he knows that I'm going to come back. If I don't get what I want, I'm going to come back again. I'm going to keep coming back. And see, that's something that we all have to realize is that we cannot quit. We cannot give up. This last set of paperwork, I did it all myself. And in the petition, I'm going to send a copy of the petition that I wrote to the judge calling him out on, everything that he did from the last hearing. And it's like he's being nice to me because he knows I filed a complaint against the presiding judge. You know what I mean?
Like,
and that's what you have to do. You can't be afraid of them because they are a judge. You know what I mean? And it's like because once we get intimidated, like, oh, well, they're not going to give me this and they're not going to give me that if I do this or do that. Who cares? They're not going to give it to you anyway, regardless. You know what I'm saying? That's why we got to fight back.
Yeah.
And we got to take it a step further. And that's, that's what I did. And totally different attitude he had today.
Oh,
but let me see. When I go pick up the court order tomorrow, let's see if he says what he says he's going to do, right? Because he said it on record. And he's done this to me before, but, that's something that all of us have to do. We have to file a complaint with the presiding judge, with the judicial commission, because I filed a complaint with them too. And, it's like you just got to keep going to the top and don't give up. It's when you give up and you're no longer persistent, you're not going to win, period.
Exactly.
So,
that's some good information. I appreciate you calling in. Good information, though. And sorry I can't be on there, but I was talking to a news reporter out here today, so I'm sorry I couldn't do that. But I know that Hillary's always on there in my place, so that's good.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'll just mention this little funny thing that I always think of. In the beginning of the nightmare with my dad's guardianship, I would, call politicians this one. I was always nervous while I was waiting to be, you know, the few times I was ever connected to anyone, you know, and the first time that I called the FBI, of course, foolishly thinking that they would help. I was on the phone. I mean, I was sweating. I was shaking because I was waiting to speak to someone. Now, if I ever call up, you know, the FBI attorney, I have a sandwich. I'm eating a sandwich, you know, drinking the soda. I got music on while I'm waiting. It doesn't faze me because I know that for the most part, they you know, you would have better luck with the guy standing on the corner when asking for help than you would with the FBI. So it's just something.
Yeah,
else.
You bring out the potato chips and the popcorn, just have at it, you know.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, I understand that a lot, but
it's not your first rodeo.
Well, Kathy, we're going to move on to another caller, but thanks for calling in. Appreciate everything you do out there. You and Venus are
you're great.
Oh, my gosh, you guys are great.
And you're absolutely right. If everyone would take the time and trouble to write up complaints against the judges and attorneys who are violating their oaths, that might be a very big step towards changing the way the legal system is being abused today.
Right, exactly. We're going to go on to another caller.
The reason why people need to do this too is because I work in law enforcement, and in my job I'm taught document, because somewhere down the line some kind of investigation might come up, and guess what, they're going to go look in their files, and guess what, it's documented, they knew. And see, that's what people got to realize. document, no matter how tired or burnout you get, document, file complaints, because it's on the record and they can't get rid of them.
Yeah. That's good advice. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Thanks, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to bring on another caller. Let's bring on an 817 number. You have a question or a comment? We've got quite a few callers calling in. Hold on a second. The phone lines are kind of
not working.
Go ahead. You're live on the air with ACES Radio. Go ahead and say hello, 817 number.
That's me. Hi, Luann. This is Jody Mueller from Texas.
Hi, Jody.
I was the one
you in a long time.
I know, right? First I had my kids stolen, and now I had my passenger stolen. So,
I was
the one that they yanked Roger out of my truck. So,
Oh my gosh, they mentioned your name. I'm like, oh my gosh, I know Jody. Yes,
You're live
on the air.
Forever, right? Okay,
right.
It's been forever. I am talking to one of my four children, but that's about it. So, you know, they're all adults and they're completely messed up because of family court. But anyway,
yeah.
I wanted to say also, like, my favorite thing is to expose these judges, and that's what I continue to do with the family court. Even though my case is over, my kids are adults, I continue to expose them. And the two that took my children from me after my ex kidnapped them, they actually retired 2 years early because I was relentless. And I drive up to Iowa, and I'm in the Iowa State Fair Parade the night before the fair. And I'm in front of 50,000 people now, and I have about 12 cars behind me. And we put judges' names and what they've done all over our vehicles. It's not pretty. We're handwriting it because it stands out actually better. And then we're on megaphones telling people. And now, Luann, since I've talked to you, I mean years since I talked to you probably, I'm learning about this whole Sesta Cavey Trust, our name in all capital letters. And it's not us. So it's not Roger they're after. It's after his name in all capital letters. And so when I'm in that parade and I think people should do that, it doesn't matter what kind of parade you're in. It doesn't matter. There's other people that go in there that are talking about other things. It doesn't have to be, yay, we're having fun at a 4th of July parade. You can get in there and be an advocate and you put in your Facebook group, have a banner, and then you talk about certain things that are happening in your community. You know, like, they could do that in Nevada. Roger Hillegas has been being held captive. He's isolated. He's being beat up. Whatever is going on, you can put public notices. If you put the word public notice on something, you can put them everywhere. They're not supposed to take them down. So I still do this to this day. I go to post offices at night. I know people are picking up their mail, and I spread them all over the counters. by their mailboxes. And so when I went up to Missouri to see Roger in one of his cases, I took my public notice that I typically hand out, and it talks about the Sestakavy Trust. It's got videos for people to learn this stuff on YouTube. It talks about the vaccine. Well, right in the middle, I put a little synopsis of Roger's case because it was in Missouri. I put the case number, and then I spread it all over the courthouse. Walked in there, and I put it on benches everywhere. I put the judges' names in there and called them out. But you can do this outside of there. Go to a Starbucks, pin it up on bulletin boards, put them on cars if you have to. But the best thing I think is like libraries. People, they're going there to read anyway. Just drop it on a table, on a bench, whatever. And it can be about a case. It can be a case number, people's names, judges' names. But these people retire early when they get exposed like this. Another thing I was going to say, I have yet to see the police report from that stop where they had guns against our heads, well, 8 inches from our heads. And I found out later Homeland Security was involved. So there was actually 4 agencies, the Highway Patrol, State Troopers, U.S. Marshal Task Force, and Homeland Security. And there was Roger says he thought there was 8 cars behind me. There was 1 in front, so 9 cars. So there was at least 9 officers, but I think there was 11. The corporal that's over the Highway Patrol told me 5 days later, girl, you had 4 guns towards your back window. Now, I never handed out my driver's license. They asked for it, but I said, absolutely not. I need to see a warrant. They didn't give me a warrant. They didn't even say Roger's name. I said, what's his name? Because I started screaming at him. I said, what'd he do? He didn't do anything. He was just at the grocery store with me. You know, I knew that he had a warrant. I didn't know what kind of warrant, and I really was not thinking that's what it was, because when I came out of the grocery store, I said, Roger, why is my strap from a ratchet strap hanging out of my truck? There's no wind. I walked up to the tailgate, and I have scratches all over my new truck. Well, if I stand there, Luann, it looks like that's where the chest of the short cop was. It's his badge. They were untying that strap to tag my vehicle if we left early. So that strap would have been whipping in the wind. But I can't get the video from the Hy-Vee grocery store because they won't give me the police reports. And I've sent public notices. I've sent complaints to the U.S. Marshals Task Force. I don't have badge numbers, so I can't write an affidavit. So how am I going to even file a lawsuit? They will not give them to me. I've written to each individual.
Oh, my gosh. I bet that scared you to Dickens.
I was screaming bloody murder. You know what I said? I'm screaming, and my head touched the top of the truck. I'm totally in my seatbelt at this time. Still, I'm touching the top. I said, no, I don't want to die. I said, I just want to see my kids. That's all. And they were like, get out of the truck. I go, he can't. You told me to shut off the truck. I have to unlock it. And they were like, put your hands up. And he never reached for his gun. He never yelled at these people. All Roger asked for was, can I see the warrant? That's all.
Oh my gosh.
The minute I unlocked that door, and I didn't want to, but I said, you got to go. They were trying to bust my window. They had their billy club, whatever, up to my window. They yanked him out. All they saw was the bottom of his seat. And I heard him outside, I need to go to a magistrate within 48 hours. He never did. They didn't take him to court for 10 days. And I was sitting in there. And then I pulled the docket up. They lied on the docket, said they gave him a warrant. And I'm thinking, Allie, I don't know if I told you this, but on that docket it says they served the warrant to Roger Eugene Hillegas. But they didn't. But I think mean is they served it to the paper man, the straw man. Because they said they served it to, and it was the all caps name. They didn't give him anything. But he held up a piece of paper the second time I went to court up there with him. It's like 700 miles away. Anyway, he said, why is my Social Security on this piece of paper? I've never given it to any of you. So that means you're using my Social Security and you're into my trust account. And I was like, oh, ding, 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 lights go off. We're filing identity theft paperwork and sending it to the IRS. We've already done it to the Missouri. Yeah. So now we're working on the Nevada. But people can do that. I mean, if you've been in court, they've already used it. So there's forms 3949A, 14039. There's like 4 different forms you can use with cover letters. I have all that if people need it, and I can tell them how to do it. I'm just learning myself, but there's a great lady in Missouri that's been teaching me. And then you can do double four sandwiches. I'm trying everything. And you can even go in your past. So when I'm done with Roger, Luann, I'm going after my old judges on my children. You know, but I'm working on his right now. But anyway.
I know you've been I remember your kids all this happening.
8 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have your number, and if somebody calls into the radio show and they want this information, I will. Is it okay if I give your phone number out to everybody? Okay, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will do that.
Yeah, it would be great.
Okay.
And remember, on those warrants, you all, they have to have a clerk's name on it, too. The clerk is higher than the judge. If they don't have it, it's not a valid warrant. And his warrant that I got in the mail was not valid. I finally got it, and it looks like scribble. I can't even tell who the judge is. Yep, it's not valid.
Well, Dodie, keep in touch with me. You can always find me on Facebook, okay? So,
glad
to hear from you.
All right, well, thank you. Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. You bet. Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh, I remember talking to her. Oh, my gosh, I bet you it's been 10 years. I bet you it's been that long. I'm so glad she called in. Let's bring on we've got the phone lines really busy. Let's bring in another phone call, a 330 number. You have a question or comment, you're on with Faces Radio Live. 330 number, say hello. Hello.
Hi, it's you. You're on the show.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
This is Kelly from Ohio, so I'm assuming Allie is on the line.
Hi, Kelly.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I told you I'd try to get in, so.
Awesome.
Since we're both in Ohio, what I was thinking, I have, hang on a minute. Bella's, every time I get on the phone, she starts.
You know the link when you're talking.
I have a unique position in probate court that Allie knows some of this. Russ, you probably don't. That I have a probate court special needs trust that is just so delightful to be part of.
I know all about those.
I have ways to get documents and their secret little playbooks on how they're doing all this stuff. So what I'd like to propose is we have to figure out how they're doing this, how they're getting away with it, what their funding source is, which I've repeated over and over and over, it's Medicaid, and come up with a game plan. Until we know their playbook, we can't effectively shut them down. So, Allie, I wanted to call in.
Yeah, I want to definitely connect. Where are you at in Ohio? What county?
I'm North Kansas. I'm northeast Ohio.
Okay, because I'm in Trumbull County, so we're not that far away, within an hour. I'm getting to you. So, my mom has a special needs trust, too.
Yeah, and I know I've lived in Ohio all my life. I've raised all six of my kids here. As you know from reading Bella's happy birthday message, I've gone through a lot. I've got a lot of data, a lot of proof, a lot of audio, a lot of video, a lot of documents. But the main source of all this, I've said over and over and over, and even when you're talking about children, special needs children and their therapies and everything, it's Medicaid money. That's where the corruption's coming from. And Medicaid money is government money.
Yeah.
Because these evil people, these evil ones, they're not going to do it for free.
Oh.
So we cut the head off the beast, so to speak, which would be Centers for Medicaid and Medicare.
Right.
And
hold
back
a minute. I'm going to talk a little bit about special needs. I had one for my daughter. And say if somebody gets in an automobile accident or something and they're on Medicaid and Medicare, they can actually get that lawsuit money and put it in a special needs trust. And that will mean that they can spend that on their own, like a personal computer for them or something they need, special that they can't get ordinarily. So a trustee, you point them like your mother or whoever, can go ahead and get that person that without involving their food stamps or getting, you know, in trouble spending that money. They can still get their allowances with Medicaid and Medicare.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. What they don't tell you, without taking up too much time here, what these attorneys, because attorneys are liars, most of them, mm-hmm. what they don't tell you is they make it almost impossible to get to that money. It's not, I mean, I'm the trustee of Bella Special Needs Trust from a civil rights lawsuit against me that I won. And I said, give the money to Bella. And the attorneys twisted the language and made it a special needs trust with a Medicaid payback when it should have been a private special needs trust that I would have handled. Mm-hmm. So instead of giving Bella all that she needed for school, therapies, I had to beg, plead, and a lot of my requests were denied. Even on the trustee, which really doesn't mean anything. It just means I'm responsible right. for all the paperwork. But the attorney's got $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a year in fees. So it's all money, money, money. It's all linked to Medicaid. It's all linked to Social Security. It's all linked to asset limits. And they know it.
Doctor services, too, right. was involved. My mom.
Yeah, ODJFS.
Mm-hmm.
All of
yeah.
it. And most of the time, the attorneys just expect that most people don't find out what we know because a very, very small segment of our population that gets into these messes knows what they're doing because they
right.
just don't know.
Right.
So since I've been going through this mess for 10 years, in Stark
right.
County, Ohio, one of the most corrupt counties that I found out
oh,
when I
know.
Was down in Tampa with Dr. Sam Sugar after I found his book in my local library. And I'm like, wow, this is a lot like what's happening to my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the elderly. They're going after the special needs children, too.
Big time. Big time.
But the way they're getting it, when you scrape away all the details, there's that Medicaid government money, Medicaid estate recovery. Like, for instance,
mm-hmm.
if Bella
yeah.
were to die,
right.
mm-hmm. every penny would go back to the state if I would have
exactly.
agreed to let them put a lien on my home for home modifications with that money that I got from that civil rights lawsuit. She would have died. I would have been immediately homeless along with my other children.
Yeah.
So it was quite horrifying. So what I propose is Allie, how I put on my post. We don't know who's monitoring that, who's trolling that. I would like to come up with a plan.
Yeah, I would like to meet with you. I can come your way and we could do lunch or something sometime and talk
yeah,
about
and,
it.
And, yeah, that would be great. And I know so many people in Ohio and throughout the United States because of Dr. Sam Sugar's symposium he
mm-hmm.
had in 2019. I know Julie Blushy,
I
who's a pretty good friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm pretty proud of that. 2019. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
so we've got two other callers. We've got quite a few other callers calling in. I've got your phone number down, and I'd like to call you, too, and talk to you about this, too, because we're actually writing a book, Robin and all of us here, about all this information that we've been gathering for the last 10 years. And one of those is the Special Needs Trust, so I'd like to find out more about those. We also are talking more to other people about reverse mortgages as well. So we've been doing a lot of work on this whole issue. But,
well, that's great, because education is power. And these people need
So do you need
to have
her phone number, or do you have information for Kelly, right? You already have her information?
Yeah, I have. I can find her on Facebook, and I'll connect with her. We'll do lunch, and we'll collaborate.
Okay, good.
Yeah, two things. Thank you guys for doing this. I've heard of you guys. I am going to be on Marty Oakley's show here pretty soon.
Oh, good.
So
Well, she's been asking for a couple of years. I told her I'd get to it. So,
yeah.
But I have so much information. Yeah, and like I said, she wants that different take from different perspective because Bella, well, she just turned 20, but when I first got all this went down, she was only 9.
Right.
So it's a different age, but same playbook. And
yeah,
I know
exactly.
The last thing I would say was I know a lot of people in Ohio and throughout the United States that we can bring them all on board because we have the same goal.
Yeah. And going on to Marty Oakley, so she is wonderful. I just love her so much. She's we've done some co-hosting together, and there's been some really big radio shows we've done.
Honey, hush, that's for competition.
We always laugh with her because she's no competition. You can't beat Marty Oakley
anyway.
Because
we're on the same team.
We're all on the same team. We never argue about who's better and which shows are better. We all are
yeah.
here to word out no matter what we have to
well,
do.
We have shared goals. We all want to see and improve great, vast improvements in the legal system and the end of all the corruption that surrounds us all around us in our society today.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're a superhero that's fighting for what's right, then we kind of band together when we can to make a better world. And that's how I feel about Marty.
Okay.
I think she would feel the same.
Okay,
about
so let's go ahead and move on. We've got quite a few more callers.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And Allie, just get a hold of me on Messenger, and we'll see when we can get together and see if we can get going.
Okay,
yeah,
sounds
go
good,
ahead.
Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for calling
okay,
into our radio
care.
Show.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
So we've got like 5 more, and I just got a message from Stuart Henty. We're going to bring him on in about a few more minutes, but let's take some other callers. And Stuart, you're going to have to wait for just a second. Let's bring in a 703 number. You have a question or a comment, and this is what we can do with this. Then we'll bring Stuart on. Hold on a second. 703 number. And this computer is going round and round and round in circles. Uh-oh. Hold on a
what
second.
What a fabulous show this is today.
Hey, 703, you're live on the air with us. Go ahead.
Yes, Matt Skarlatos again. I don't want to take up Stu's time because I want to hear what he has to say, but kudos, Luann, to you again, and Allie. This was a really important show tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard a lot about you, by the way. I've been reading all the emails, and I just got to know your name, so I'm glad you really called in to the show. I really am. It is important. It really is. You're right about that. You're very familiar with what's going on.
Well, I was just going to say it's personal for me, just like it is for Allie and Hillary and so many of us victims out there that have been through this. I lost my dad in 2018 to a probate guardianship case in Northern Virginia. And there isn't a state out there right now that's immune to it. Some are worse than others. But we really have to make a show of this mockery which is going on in Reno, Nevada for Roger Hillegas and Stuart Henty. It's insane.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Matt, we would be glad to have you come on to one of our shows as one of our guests and we can talk more about this. You know, because I've heard a lot about you. I've heard a lot about Stuart Henty. In fact, we're going to be bringing Stuart on. I mean, yeah. Pretty quickly here. I was just trying to find out who all these callers were. It lit up like a Christmas tree on my thing here. So I'm going to keep you live here, Matt, if you will stay with us.
Absolutely.
If you don't mind, we will contact you after the show about perhaps coming in for a future show.
Yes, good.
I was just going to say, okay. I would greatly appreciate that, and I'm honored.
Okay,
excellent.
Good. Okay, so stay with us live. I'm going to keep you live. We've got, let's see, hold on. We've got another one. I don't know who's calling in. Say hello. And
maybe an online guest.
It's an online guest. There's no area code. Say hello, anybody, and if we pick you up, we do.
Can you hear me?
Say hello. Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
It's how we built in, me and Kathy, how we had to dial in to get past the fee. So that's probably why you don't see our number. It's Venus. So hi, everybody. How you doing?
Hey, Vena. Hi, Venus. How you doing?
What's up? Hey, you know, keeping the movement going as much as we can. But
most of the warriors out there in California.
Oh, man. Okay, there's so much more to do. But we still have so much more to do. And I'm just here. I want to give this time to Roger because I just found out, like, yesterday about Roger. I saw, I think, is it Eileen, her email?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, and I was so glad that I was in that email. Thank you so much because Roger and I had talked quite a bit. I had no idea. And so
right.
I just was speaking with Stuart, and I was speaking with Matt. Got their numbers from the email, and I'm here for whatever we can do. That's ridiculous. I just looked online. If everybody can see the Washo, is that how you say it? WashoSheriff.com.
And I went to
inmate, and then I saw his information. He put in his first three letters, and I called there because I think we need to start flooding them with numbers, calling, letting them know that he's got support. In order to do a call, we can put a little money on the books, whatever, I don't mind, and just start, you know, flooding that Washoe Sheriff Department.
Exactly. Right. We all need to band together to get these guys out.
Yes.
I am serious, guys. Whatever we can do as a radio show, let us know, because this is ridiculous what they're doing to these guys. Venus, Cash, you guys have been so wonderful out there. You guys are amazing. You and Cash Rodriguez working on all this. I'm still getting calls from California, and I refer them to you guys as much as I can. Thank you for calling into the show. Let me see. I'm trying to pull Stuart in with us. So hold on, everybody.
This is also Roger. I'll get off, but let me just give this number to the nation. It's the Washoe Sheriff Department. It's 775-453-3289.
775-453. No, that's Stuart's number.
Did I write down Stuart's number? I'm sorry. Thank you for telling me.
No, that's okay. It sounded familiar. So
I know.
We can all call him and say, I hope you come home.
Okay. I'm on the line. So here is the sheriff's department. It's 775.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 328-3001. All right.
Say it again.
And let's see. Sure. 775. 328-3001, and they have an email. If you just go to the website and put in washosheriff.com and then go to inmate search and put in Roger's last three letters of his name, H-I-L, it will pop up and you'll see all his information. You'll see his picture, his booking number, which is 230-0327, 230-0327. Has his age there, his JID number, every booking date, 110. So we just need to inmate visiting info. And I think the lady said you can email too. So we need to support
him. Venus, what you can do is hit me up on an email and I'll get this out to everybody.
Okay.
Or text something with all this information. That would be wonderful to get all that info. Okay.
Okay. You got it. I'll do that tonight. Thank you.
Okay, perfect.
Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Take
care. Oh, my gosh, the line is so lit up, I can't even tell you where I'm at. Okay, hold on. I'm kind of lost. Let's bring Stuart on. Stuart,
okay.
Are you with us?
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey,
thank you for coming on to our show.
Good evening, both. There I am. Stuart's on, and God bless you both again. I thought I was tuned in to Lou Ann Fleming's show, but it looks like I'm on to the Ultimate Warrior show tonight. And I say that with a chuckle. I got two words for the minions listening tonight. Gotcha. Today we came across a document that was supposedly entered into the court eFlex account, which is the eFlex account that we have to sign up for when we get all notifications from whomever puts them in. It could be the district attorney's office, could be a lawyer, could be the judge himself, herself. There's a document that was put into the court docket today, dated 11-13 of 2022. Now, Allie, my girl, and Matt, my brother, know what I'm about ready to say. That document is false. That document was generated sometime within the last 48 hours. And why I know that is because I went back on my eFlex account and scrolled all the way down to the 13th when it was supposedly entered, because I would have been noticed, and it's not there. So I called my attorney that's representing me this afternoon, Mr. Silverberg, and I said, hey, we got him. I want a criminal investigation going into it. We're going to talk Friday. This is not the first time, folks, this has happened. This is the second time. The first time happened when Deputy District Attorney Amos Stege, who's prosecuting Roger and I, brought forth an affidavit, lead detective Allison Jenkins of the Reno Police Department. Now, funny thing is, happened away in the forum, I've got the original. The original had X amount of pages. Well, this affidavit had Y amount of pages. And Matt Scarlatus, God bless you for your computer acumen. He researched that document. Now, this document was supposedly generated in August of 2019. The extra pages put forth in that document dated August of 2019 were generated July of 7th of this 2022. So that is called falsification, tampering with evidence. I bring my 30 years of law enforcement into this low game, say, gotcha. You want to fight? The fight's in the street, and we're coming, and we're not stopping. Now I'm going to be calling the Attorney General's office, demanding an investigation. We're going to be talking to my attorney. I'm going to be talking to my attorney on Friday, and the horns are off the bull, and they're going to be sticking up someone's you-know-what.
There you go. Yeah. I also have Matt with this as well. I still had his line open. Yeah, I'm trying to close off some of these other lines.
Yeah, I'm on. I don't want to interrupt, but yes, it is. It has been a big day. There's a lot of falsification going on through this court. It's a massive drill that they're going through to cover their six. And I think if it wasn't for our unification, Allie, me, Stuart, and several others that have basically been watching this thing unfold and putting a lot of pressure on them, that these kind of antics wouldn't be coming out. But I think they're very, very concerned. I think they've made a lot of mistakes, and it's all coming to a head.
Yep, and I'll get off Luann because I know you want some other callers. God bless you guys again for doing what you're doing. Matt, my brother, Allie, my girl, Hillary, Jody, Kathy, everybody on here. We're uniting to take these ass hats, and thank you, Alex, for that term, ass hats down. And yes, I was a cop for 30 years, but where's the professionalism now? It's out the window. So you know what? We get down and dirty. It's a street fight. So let's fight in the street, and let's take them down. And I'm thanking
you. There
you
go. Yeah. Thank you for calling
right
in.
On,
appreciate
brother,
you.
Right on. We stand with.
Go to him with my law enforcement questions and answers. I'm like, help me with this. So, yeah, he's been there for me to do that. Stuart, thank you for calling in. We're there with you.
Thank you. And
we're going to be all coming together with this. I'm trying to call a lot of people that I knew in the past that helped with the Free Brittany movement. I've got to go through my book.
Divided we fall, right? Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
So if
God
you're
bless.
From the Free Brittany movement, call in so we can get your help on this, okay?
Yep.
So,
you got Luann, you always got my number. Whenever you want me there, I'll be there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can't take away my 30 years. They can't do it. They try.
We're gonna keep you live still with this. Let's bring on some more callers. Let's bring on. Hold on a second. Let's bring on a 616 number. 616, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, this is Holly from Michigan.
Holly, hi, Holly.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Hi, how
yes,
you
we
do?
Can.
Update. We in Michigan, all of us together, are really fighting hard on this stuff. But to give you an – oh, hi, Matt. To give you an update on Emily Delf. Emily Delf is my daughter. I adopted 25 years ago from Haiti out of a box, brought her home. And to make a long story short, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, they said because I left the state with her in Michigan that it was against the law, and that's why they took her. That's what I found out was on the form. They said I absconded with her, even though I adopted her something like 25 years ago, and I did have guardianship. But somehow or another, they came up with this new stuff. So to make a long story short, they took her, and Emily's been kind of dumped at the hospital a couple times. But this last time, they dumped her at the hospital, and again, they didn't tell the hospital why they were dumping her. And the hospital, of course, called me and my son and said they didn't know anything about anything because the only records they have are from me. This is Grand Rapids, Michigan, in Kent County. So they didn't know anything about anything. And, of course, they went down to the hospital again. Apparently, there is a guardian named Stacy that is attached to my daughter, but no one can find the guardian. They don't think that person exists. They think it's a made-up name. And so we did call the police to the hospital. It was hard to get them to come there, but they did go. And we did make out a report of abuse and neglect because of the situation that my disabled daughter was in. Hospital people were very nice, but it went from there to a case manager. Again, she's yelling, saying, why isn't there any guardian? And, of course, all the questions are coming towards me because they're looking at me. They don't know where she lives. So I said, I have no idea where she lives. But, again, they're looking at me and saying, well, what do you want? Do you want her to come to your house? And I said, sure. and apparently the hospital might be a temporary guardianship for me. But legally, there is this guardian that's floating around. It could be a made-up person, and no one can seem to find that was guardianized through the court. So that's why I'm going to make a long story short. And NWACP is probably going to take up the calls, and with that, they're going to call in a certain civil rights attorney that everybody knows, but I'm not going to mention his name quite yet. And so that's what's going to go on with this because we have to make a really big deal for this to move forward. I've had to collect zillions of reports on top of reports on top of reports and dig out reports and put it all together so I can give this particular famous civil rights attorney that possibly will be looking at this because so much bad stuff has gone down in Grand Rapids against a certain type of people. So that's kind of what's going on with Emily. But my only other thing I want to say is that most people are not going to win in probate court. I might win just because this specific civil rights attorney might come back to Michigan and take up this cause. But I'm going to go with the fact that we're going to have to go with the 13th and 14th of Amendment. Most people are not winning, but the 13th and 14th Amendment, and I'm talking about people that are under guardianship, the 13th, 14th Amendment has all to do with slavery. There is no law. There is no law that says anybody has to be under guardianship. That's from Health and Human Services. There's no law, so I don't know why we're even making all these bills, which is a good thing. The bills are a good thing. I'm not against them. That's Carolyn's law. No, I'm not against it. The bills are good. I'm not against it. But we're making bills for a law that doesn't even exist. Exactly. And then I'll add one more thing, is that there's also another 18-year-old lady here in Michigan, and they're trying to put her in guardianship right now as we speak. She has a job. She is pretty much normal. Apparently a little autistic or something, a little teeny weeny bit, but she's graduating in her senior year in high school. She has a job. She works as a cashier, in fact. And apparently she got in a fight with her dad, nothing big, called the police like what some teenagers are doing nowadays. APA, Adult Protective Service, came, and now they're trying to put her in guardianship, even though she's going to go into the Navy.
That's so scary because they're going after the younger kids now.
People need to understand that they're going after younger people. This is slavery. They're going after, and it is against the Constitution of the United States. The 13th and 14th Amendment says it is. So please, hopefully you'll think about Emily. Emily's on the bottom of the totem pole with all this guardianship, but there is a police report. There is a case manager. There are people working on it. And literally the courts, they make up stuff. They made up a guardian. There's not even a the person doesn't even exist.
I know. Hey, if you can get a hold of her, Holly, have her get a hold of me if you can. I'd like to talk to her, okay?
Who?
That young girl that they're trying to put into guardianship, because I want it to get out there that it's just not elderly people or disabled people. It's all kinds of people out there going in guardianship. You know, it doesn't matter what color you are.
It is human trafficking.
Exactly.
It is, and it's her name. She's got her own webpage. She's fighting. She's trying to put money together. We're not talking about a disabled person here even. We're talking about they're funneling in it. And the more I have looked at, even into this disability quiet stuff, I'm finding the schools are pushing these kids into guardianship. They're just blatantly say, if you don't have an IQ of this, then you're going into guardianship. That's exactly
what Holly, I'm going to have to talk to you more about this because I've got to get on to these other callers. But if
Thank
you want to send me a message and help me get in touch with that girl, I'd be great to talk to her, okay?
It's on my In Michigan Probate Corruption page.
Okay.
In Michigan Probate Corruption.
Okay.
It's on that, but I can tag your name on this. I'll tag your name on it.
Yes, you can do that. Please do. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Holly, for calling.
Okay,
we've got another caller that just came in. Actually, she's been waiting here. Her 270 number. Let's go ahead and bring her in. Is everybody still okay on this show? I get flooded with phone calls. That's crazy. Hold on a second. 270. Hold on a second. I got to get you on the line here. It's working its way up there. Uh-oh. I think our phone lines are flooded or something. 270.
I'm here.
Okay, hi.
How is everybody?
Hi.
Great.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hi. So the man that is in jail right now, was he a former police officer?
No, that was Stuart Hanty. And then there's also Roger Hillegas. He's in jail right now, and Stuart Hanty is the other 30 law enforcement officer who was helping him see his mom, and they have him in like an ankle monitor. So it's Roger Hillegas.
So to me, it sounds like somebody got paid to rough these guys up or to make them do, you know, in the very beginning, somebody got paid, and then somebody was like, well, I can't pay you, but I'm calling in a favor. But then it got very messy. And they realized they made a huge mistake going after these people, these guys.
Mm-hmm.
This is my understanding or what I'm thinking. And then, so basically they know that they messed up. They know that they were going after innocent people, and they made a huge mess of it. They've used SWAT team and all kinds of stuff. Is that, I'm understanding that right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
remember one time when I was sitting there, Erica, I remember one time I was sitting there with Robin, and we were listening to this go down, and they were talking about how they went in and this man went in and snatched his mother and all kinds of stuff, but they made him sound like he was a huge criminal. This was the news media out there in Nevada, and we were all sitting there going, yeah, right, he's just taking his mother out of a guardianship, but we all understand that, but the news media blew it up way context.
Oh, yes. So that's, and then so all they can do, all they can hope to do is vilify these guys and hope that, and then, or hope they can make them disappear. And because so many people know about it, us and everybody else, they can't kill them because that's too messy. So the only thing they can do is imprison them. And, or, you know, keep them in prison, and that's the only way they can keep them out of the way so that they can clean up or try to make this go away, because they know they messed up. They know that there's nothing. They don't even have a leg to stand on.
They don't.
Right.
And so the green light thing,
they've both been treated like they're guilty, and you're supposed to be innocent. Innocent until proven guilty, but they both done jail time, like 3 to 4 months.
And
Stuart was in for 4 months. It's ridiculous.
Was this through the probate court or through criminal court?
I think it's the family court, second judicial circuit court or something like that in Washoe
County.
That's so weird.
That's so weird that if they had done something criminal, criminal charges weren't taken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's started with the guardianship,
right. Yeah. Hold on, one at a time. Uh-huh. Stewart
said criminal court. So is a family court, probably.
And, well, that's what basically most people think guardianship, conservatorship, most of the public thinks that it's a good thing, you know, that it's there to protect elderly people and or special needs and or children from villainous family members, but they take things that anybody who stands in their way. So when they get a target, whether it's an elder, special needs, whatever, anybody that stands in their way, they do things that are normal and loving actions that they would do for their family member. They fraudulently accuse us things, and it's really weird that usually it's stemming from a family court or a probate court, and it's weird that there's never any criminal charges because we can't be charged with anything criminal because there's nothing criminal that's happened. Most people don't get criminal charges out of this, do they? They just get harassed until they're out of their mind.
Yeah, they want Stewart dead because he's a federal whistleblower.
Oh, and that's what Roger, I say. He knows too much, buddy. He knows too much, and that's so sad. That's so freaking sad.
Yeah.
Because the fraternal
agree with you right now, because they want to take out the main players, and the reason they're going after Stewart and I think Roger Hillegas is to basically get them out of the way. I mean, what else could it be, everybody? Just think about it. I don't know. You know, I'm just saying that in my opinion, right? Go ahead.
On our show.
Right.
Stewart as our guest. Rod Hillegas has also talked with us. And apparently the reality of the situation is that that this particular action was a kind of the way Stewart put it, I can't remember the words exactly. There was something kind of a secondary action because there was already, he was already standing up for what was right against corruption in the Justice Department somewhere, and someone didn't like it, and they wanted to target him. They were looking for a way to get at him, and when this opportunity presented itself, in other words, here he was just trying to help his friend and do what's right for this sweet old lady that was being abused in this nursing home and get her out of there. and they used paperwork that was presented and that they believed was legal, that the nursing home saw no problem with, and then they were criminalized, and then they were, you know, then they made this big deal out of it, but it had more to do with who they are and getting at them than it did what the actions were on that particular day. And they really want to get rid of the problem of these people who are telling the truth about what they're doing. And I think there's an element of that that has a lot to do with why we're even talking about that now, what happened and how come it's the way that it is.
Right. So you have it there, everybody. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes left to this radio show, so let's get back to where are we at, man?
Can I say something about that ankle monitor that is on Stuart is affecting his health in a negative way, too. It emits, radioactive, I don't know, radio waves or something, EMF, I think it is. It's not healthy for him to have that on there. And they want them both gone, cause a huge uprising if either one of them are harmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how long has he had that, right, Brissa? And I forgot to ask him.
I think it was in April, almost a year in April.
A year?
Is he still on? Yeah,
April,
I believe.
Let me find out. Let me see where he's at. Let me see. Are you? Yeah, go
there
ahead.
There you are.
Yeah, let me expound just a little bit. I don't want to take any more time because I know you want to talk. It was put on me on April 13th, plus I've had to pay for it. So the judge ordered it. I didn't want it. I had to pay for it. Now I've stopped paying for it. They said they're going to take it off for February 3rd. But what is more disturbing is I've been followed. I've been monitored. And I'm not getting out of way out in whack land here. There's helicopters that I've seen outside at night hovering. And it's you ask yourself, why? Why would they do this? Because, Robin, like you just said a few minutes ago, I am a federal whistleblower. I'm the problem. Roger's the problem. Guess what? Get rid of the problem. Susan Hillegas is dead. I was taken down at gunpoint. Roger was taken down at gunpoint. Roger was on the second time. The first time he would have walked over that window, he would have been shot dead by two snipers on the roof, trained on that window. This is how scary it is, folks. And believe me, I'm not sitting here making this stuff up. It is mind-boggling scary. So the only way we stop them is we take the stand. And yes, Allie, it's been on since April 13th.
Wow, that's crazy, man. I think about how my father used to be the chief of police here out in Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah.
My father-in-law. And I could not imagine him with an ankle bracelet on to save my life. He was a well-upstanding man, and whatever he said went. And he actually was the conservator of my husband when he became sick. But what I'm saying is that why they put an ankle bracelet on you is mind-boggling.
It's just one more miscarriage of justice.
It's a miscarriage of justice, Robin. You're right about that.
Yeah, especially in the video. I mean, on the hearing, Judge Breslow literally says, "Oh, the ankle monitor doesn't apply here because of Administrative Order 2017-13. So why did you take him down a couple days later and put that on him? That makes no sense.
Yeah, the whole thing is just ridiculous. Let's bring on one more caller. That's all we have time for. 720, you have a question or comment? I see you have your hand
raised.
Hi,
Robin. Hey, Luann. Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. What's going on, fellas, girls, ladies, gentlemen, people across the world?
Well, my name's
Dave.
Already,
so. Oh, I forgot. I'm calling from a different phone number because I can't get on your show with my phone anymore.
Yeah, I hear that sometimes. I know.
I'll call your phone. The point is you guys were at my court date on, I think it was before, in December or November, and they pointed to another court date here in Denver, Colorado. You guys remember that? It was a WebEx meeting. You guys were there.
Yeah, right.
You're all sitting there, and it Channel 7 News was there. Everybody was there. Mm-hmm. Okay, they've made the court date for December 22nd. Okay?
Right.
On December 22nd, the city was shut down. We had a big snowstorm. But it was different than a big snowstorm. It was 20 below. So, you know, I look up. I could send you guys the stuff. You know, I hear the court's closed. I go, you know what? I'm going to go down there just in case. So I went down there just in case. Just in case the court was closed. So I'm grabbing the doors, and I go, maybe something else. They had the ex parte meeting anyway. And I get something with a fake judge signature. I've never seen this judge. I've seen the judge signatures many times stamped, many times written out. A fake judge signature saying all these orders happen within an hour when the court was closed. So the only people that could do that would have access to the court, which is the judge and the predatory attorneys. And
there
so that's kind of where I'm at right now. Just a little bit. Hey, we had something going our way. We had something going our way a year ago. And then, okay, I have the media. I have Luann's show. I have a lot of people behind me. And they were scared of that court date that we had on the WebEx meeting. So now you could hear the judge. Now, when we had the WebEx meeting before that, we had a court date. The judge said, your mom's nothing more on aspirin. Well, she's on Lexpro and lorazepam and some other psychotic drug. And I said, I pointed to the judge and I said, here it is. It's Lexpro, lorazepam, and some, was it mitoxazin? And you're absolutely killing my mother as we stand. She said, oh, no, your mom's nothing more than on aspirin. So I went and got the transcripts, guys. It cost me $600 to get the transcripts to our meeting, da-da-da-da. I read the transcripts. Every part of those transcripts were changed. So everybody's got to remember that. So before you guys get the transcripts, get the recording. Walk in Dom, go, hey, can I get the recording of the case?
Yeah. There you go.
And then remember, hey, look at the judge's signatures. These are all fake. They're all fake signatures. A lot of them don't even have the court date or the court stamp. You know, when you file something, they have a court stamp. And they have a number on there, FW360-7689, filed this date. Remember those things.
Right.
These guys are making mistakes.
Oh.
Big.
So I don't want to interrupt you. I don't really want to interrupt you, but I just got the warning that we have one minute left or so to our radio show. So
thanks for listening. Love you guys.
Okay, talk to you more about this, but I want to get back to Allie real quick.
I want to hear about more of this David Magoya. David who?
Yeah, I'll let you know after. So, Allie, go ahead and tell us what you want to see, and we'll go from there, and then we'll end our radio show.
I want to see Roger and Stuart be free and from all of this charade and them drop all these charges because this is all a ruse and they don't deserve any of this. Helping someone that's being neglected, it doesn't equal being in jail for 4 months, being swatted, having a gun held to your head, having an ankle monitor. It's all ridiculous. I mean, while they let other criminals go free, actual criminals, these are not criminals. They've never even had a trial. So it needs to stop.
Absolutely.
Right, absolutely. We agree with you 100%. Well, we will be keeping on top of the story. I'm in touch with Allie. I'm in touch with Stuart. I'm in touch with, now I have Matt. So I can be in touch with him, too.
Matt's
I'm on
amazing.
Their email, so I get updates on everything at all the time. We're going to be doing another radio show next week. Another lady's going to come on and talk about her case that's going on. She just notified me, so we're going to keep these radio shows going, but remember...
Remember, justice requires transparency and accountability.
And giving
and
up...
giving up is not an option.
Is not an option. So thank you, Hillary, for coming on with us. And always...
Thank you to all our guests and all
and
of
Marcy.
You called in.
And Marcy had to
we
work late, so...
We appreciate you all. We love you, and we stand with you.
Right, and Marcy had to work late, so hugs to you, and hugs to Elliot Bernstein. Love, love, like he would always say. So thank you for coming on so much. And remember, Ellie, keep in touch with us. Remember, all these shows are recorded and archived, and to make sure that people know that the link is good even after the show as a post-recorded option. You may share the link to friends and family and can be found on Facebook Radio, on Hidden Truth Revealed channel, on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, all shows are recorded and archived. You're listening to Families Against Court Investment, Unethical Standards, Faces, Hidden Truth Revealed. So anyway, follow us. We're also on Twitter. We're also up on Facebook, Families Against Court Investment, Unethical Standards, Faces. So you can always send me a messenger if you'd like to come on to our radio show, or if I'll be glad to give that out. Okay?
As long as we've got there, okay.
As long as
thank
we got
you so
okay.
much.
And thank you
and
so
Robin.
Much. Keep in touch with us.
I will. Take
absolutely.
Care. Thank
appreciate
you.
We're gonna play this Judicial Integrity Project song. I get the biggest kick out of this. We were downtown with a bunch of us protesting down there, and you've got to listen to this from the Judicial Integrity Project, y'all. Please listen to this.
Okay.
Good night,
good night. Thank you.
Let's see if we can get it to play. Come on. Come on. It's turning around. It's going to go. I've had problems with my buttons all night. Let's see if we can get it going. Maybe it doesn't want to play. Okay, we're going to give it another second. If it don't play, we will go ahead and see. Look at this. Okay, well, good night, everybody.
Good night.